And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, I take it you had a good Passover. I take it your friends had or will have proper Easter celebration. And to everybody who is celebrating either one of these holidays or Eid or any other holiday for that matter, enjoy it. If enjoyment is part of the holiday, maybe suffering is part of the holiday. I don't know.
Well, by the seventh and eighth day of Passover, you suffering becomes an issue. You know, the foods are different, but it's a small price to pay for freedom. So.
Well, that's what it's about. It's Passover is a holiday of freedom, right? That's what it becomes. Maybe it wasn't that way 3,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, but that's what it has become. It celebrates freedom. And I don't suppose Pam Bondi is celebrating her freedom.
Oh, yeah, she supposedly she asked to be kept on for a little while longer and was told no. So I understand she's already back in Florida. That's a perfect example of what so many people have done. It's, you know, she has sold her reputation, her integrity, any real measure of self-respect in order to get and keep this job. And what she learned is what a lot of people learn with Trump, that that only flows one way. When she's no longer of use or whether she becomes a liability, they're out. Damn. And the thing is that there's still people lining up behind her that want this position, that the same thing could happen to. You know, the Jeanine Pirro, who wasn't very successful in her indictments in Washington, D.C. Lena Haba.
That's a euphemism. She failed each one of them.
Yeah. Lena Haba, his ex-lawyer, who couldn't even maintain her position as a U.S. attorney.
Well, that wasn't her fault. I mean, they appointed her illegally. She didn't do that.
Yeah.
She accepted it. She knew what she was getting into. She was complicit in that respect. But now she wants to be the attorney general, right?
Hey, you fall up, not fall down.
Who really has the inside track? How come Zeldin has the inside track and not his personal lawyer, the assistant attorney general?
The only thing that one can think of is that, well, a couple things, but one, Blanche may be more effective in doing the dirty work out of sight rather than being the attorney general. But the other thing was he's got the mark of Ghislaine Maxwell on his chest. Remember, he's the one that...
That's right. He made the deal.
Yeah. He went down and interviewed her, and a couple weeks later, she got, or even less than a couple weeks later, she got moved to a more cushy prison.
Yeah. Well, as I understood it, under Pam Bondi, he actually ran the show. And it was the people who he appointed who were in charge of the day-to-day operations with him. She did not do that. He did that. So maybe, you know, like he's the executive secretary or he's chief of staff or whatever, and he'll keep doing that.
Yeah, the power behind the throne.
Yeah. I mean, after all, Stephen Miller doesn't have a big post, doesn't have a great title, but he is the effective voice of the government.
Yeah. And then the speculation is who's next in the cabinet. you've got Kash Patel, who hasn't been very helpful in the way he's done things, supposedly irked the president by his visibility and things that he shouldn't be that visible with. There's Pete Hegseth, who's...
He's going to get rid of Pete Hegseth? What, are you kidding?
He's, who's trying to tough-talk his way into staying in his position. But if the war goes badly, who do you think he's going to blame? And the war is going in certain respects.
I think the war is lost, but we'll get to that in a minute. But I think he's lost the war. I think he's conceded that he's lost the war.
Yeah. And the third one, we'll talk about that, is Tulsi Gabbard.
Well, how about Romer, the Labor Secretary?
Hasn't been that visible.
No, but it's been terribly corrupt.
Well, corruption is not a reason to be thrown out of this administration. I mean,
that's true.
He's got his sons are there investing in drones that the Pentagon is buying by the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, you remember what Mayor Daley said. If you can't help your family, what's politics for?
That's the whole purpose of this administration.
Well, that may have been Mayor Daley's whole purpose. I hate to say it.
Yeah. We've seen all of these emoluments that have come to Trump, and no one seems to be able to do anything about it. He just pulled that deal out down in Miami for his so-called library. We got prime real estate donated for $10.
$10 million worth of real estate for $10. Isn't that a good negotiation?
It's a great negotiation. The art of the deal.
Yeah.
And what's the library going to consist of? A Trump hotel.
Right.
Trump apartments. And, I mean, what could be in the Trump library?
A statue of Trump.
A statue of Trump. Gold statue,
exactly. Right.
Maybe some of the presidential records that he had stashed in the bathroom at Mar-a-Lago that he's going to want back, because he got one of his toadies attorneys to write an opinion that the Presidential Records Act is unconstitutional.
That's right. And the guy who wrote that opinion, that lawyer, right, is the same lawyer who wrote the legal opinion that said kidnapping Maduro was legal and blowing up the people in boats in the Pacific and the Atlantic is legal. It's all legal. Everything is legal.
Everything they can do is legal.
Yeah.
It gets back to the Scott Galloway thing, that the law is there. They're not bound by the law. But they can use the law.
Yeah, exactly. That's their approach to the law. That's exactly right. But look, this week he made two speeches, which I think ought to be noted. The speech about the war, and the speech that he made to investors, sponsored by the Saudi Investment Fund, in which, among other choice things, he said, we're fighting a war. We don't have the money for Medicaid, for Medicare, for child support, for child programs. Our money has to be used only for war making. And the states have to stand up and pay for it. This is the guy who said, I will do everything. Don't worry about it. Medicare and Medicaid under my watch, nothing will be touching them. Nothing. I'll protect them. And now he gets up and he says, we can't pay for it. He doesn't say we're going to cut it. He says we can't pay for it. We're not going to trim it down. We're not going to do it.
Well, he just proposed that the defense budget be increased by 40%.
40%, right.
Yeah. Now, and that's going to be his excuse. He said, when I said that I wasn't going to touch it, I didn't realize we were going to be in a war. So
Yeah, right.
But that's going to... that is going to help the Democrats, because they're going to have that quote, have that part of the speech. Every congressional race, they're going to pin the Republican down and saying, do you support the president by not having money for child care or Medicare, or do you buck the president?
To me, that should be the whole campaign. Paige Cognetti running against Bresnahan should say exactly what you said, and get him not to say, I'll buck the president. Get him to say, I'll support the president. Or get him to say, I haven't made up my mind yet. That's good enough, too.
Yeah.
That's the point. He said he'd defend it. Now he says we have to make war. We can't afford to pay for Medicaid or Medicare or child support. You support that? You support the president? Or are you going to fight him on that? Because I'm going to fight him on that.
She has so many things to fight Bresnahan with. His stock trades, his own back, going back on the Medicare and Medicaid vow that he wasn't going to touch it.
Which is what she can say. How can we believe you when
yes.
you already backtracked on having said exactly that the last time you ran, and you're back, and you voted against what you said you would do? Yeah,
she's got a lot to play offense with.
That's exactly right.
One of the reasons the Bresnahan won and beat Matt Cartwright was because he had no record.
Right.
There was nothing you could go after him on.
Right.
Now he's got a record, and it's a bad record very shortly.
But the Trump albatross, that is the record all Republicans have, all of them.
His ratings are so low right now. His approval, disapproval, is way in the negatives. It's hard to see how he could recover in time before the November elections, the midterms.
Well, I don't think he can recover, because see, he lost the war. He went into a war, and in my view, he lost that war. And in my view, the speech that he made about the war is a concession of defeat. He didn't say that, but what he did say was, you want to get your oil through the straits? You do it. I'm not going to do it. I don't care about it. It doesn't matter. We don't need that oil. You need oil? Buy it from us. Or gas? Buy it from us. That is an admission that you have not overthrown the government you said you were going to overthrow. You do not control the situation. You cannot stop them from doing what they want to do, which is prevent the flow of gas and oil through the straits. It means strategically you failed in everything you said that this war was about. You said you obliterated their missiles, but they shot down your plane the next day. They didn't do it with a slingshot. They did it with a missile that you said they didn't have, and so forth and so on. So in other words, whatever he claims, that speech is a concession. Anybody who listened to that speech, who doesn't think that what he's saying is, I lost this war and I don't know how to get out of it, it doesn't know how to listen to speeches.
Well, the speech was disjointed, and essentially all it was a string of his Truth Social posts that he's had over the last few weeks. He didn't really break any new ground, except, as you said, that he backed out of maybe for the day saying that we're going to regain control of the Straits of Hormuz. But it really had
how?
No.
How is he going to do it? He's going to do it without sending troops? Of course he's not going to do it without sending troops. He has to send troops. The Gulf is very narrow and extends for many miles.
The word is that he really pulled a Putin. Remember, Putin was going to conquer Ukraine in 3 days.
Yeah.
And he thought this massive bombing would and getting rid of the leadership of the mullahs would have the same effect within a very short time. Didn't happen.
Well, it never happens. I mean, this has been the Israelis' approach, and it hasn't ever worked.
They were
going to get rid of Hamas. Hamas hasn't been gotten rid of.
Yeah.
They were going to get rid of the PLO. It still hasn't been gotten rid of. They're going to mow the lawn every so often. That means you never stop fighting a war. But Trump says, no, I only do short wars. I don't do long wars. But the Israelis don't do short wars. They do only long wars, because for them, war is never ending. Well, that's what he bought into.
Well, their existence is never is under attack. That's never ending either.
But they don't. But they rule out negotiation. War is their approach. Well, war is their approach, and mowing the lawn. That is, knock them out, and when they rise up, knock them out again. That's an that by its nature says diplomacy doesn't work. We can't do diplomacy. We can only do.
Well, remember they had diplomacy at Camp David, and Arafat walked away from that deal. Hamas is not, wasn't in a very negotiating mood as well. But
yeah, but that was 20 years later.
Well,
in any case, the point
I wanted to, the thing that I was reminded of was Mad Dog Mattis's quote. Remember, he was Trump's Secretary of Defense, who said the enemy gets a vote. The enemy gets a vote.
It's, but Trump doesn't believe that because Trump is a bully.
He thinks we'll do A and it'll have the desired outcome. And if it doesn't, he's lost because he doesn't have the people to prepare for alternate B.
Because these people have no concept of strategy. I don't care what their title is. I don't care what their education is. They don't understand strategy. They don't know what it is. They think that the accumulation of tactical wins equals a victorious strategy. But it doesn't. It doesn't. And this is proof of it. Because there's no question they had a string of tactical wins. They've laid waste to Iran. There's no question about that. But they're nowhere near winning the war. They've lost the war because the government has not been defeated. The government continues to fight, and the government has not been overthrown. All right. Well,
no. Talk about losses. He looks like he's going to have another loss in the Supreme Court.
Birthright citizenship?
Birthright citizenship, despite his presence at the argument, didn't seem to have gone very well.
Why do you think he did that? You really think he thought he was going to intimidate the judges?
Yeah.
Really?
He really thinks that they're my judges. They owe me.
And if I show up, they'll be frightened. If I show up, they'll be frightened.
I'll show up, and they'll be reminded that they owe me.
I see. Right.
And that sort of thing. And actually, line of the argument though came from the Chief Justice when the
you mean when Sauer said to him, "We have different conditions now," right?
Yeah,
and the Chief Justice said, "Yeah, but we have the same constitution."
The same constitution,
right?
Which actually gives me the the thought that this is a living constitution, not a dead one. He says that he said it's the same constitution, but it has to adapt to different conditions.
Well, the funny part is that the ACLU lawyer delivered an argument from originalism. That was her point. Yeah. She said originally, this is what it means. This is what they meant, and that's what it means. That's all.
It was a textualist. It was, but it was pretty obvious that, The conservatives have gone through a couple of different rationales, and that's one of them is originalism. One of them is historic. Remember, they use that in the abortion case. The opponents of the Trump position were able to point out, historically, you can't argue what this was meant for.
That's right.
This was meant for.
You can't argue with the plain words. You can't argue with the historical meaning of the words. You can't argue with what the words say now. And you can't argue with what the precedent that it set did from the moment that it said it.
Yeah, and I was listening as best I could to the argument. And it was interesting. I think that Justice Thomas only had one question. Gorsuch was very animated in it. In the argument, Coney Barrett had some very smart questions.
Well, Coney Barrett wasn't persuaded by Sauer at all.
No. She came prepared.
Yeah.
And the Chief Justice as well. The only one who seemed to have some areas of question was Alito, but I don't even know where he, you know, if they were that strong. But anyway, we'll have to wait probably till June to find that out.
But you, most people think that Trump loses on that one, right?
Yeah, I think that's pretty well the consensus. The only question is how they're going to package it to mitigate the
disaster.
If they can at all.
Well, it's hard to see how they can, because it's either right or it's not right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a great proponent. I think having read a lot of cases, the justices are now in a mode where they're showing off,
mm-hmm.
you know, how much they can put in and how many precedents they can refer to and how many things they can distinguish. You know, I think a lot of these opinions could be written very, you know, much simpler.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is one of them. This is one of them.
Yeah. Well, it might be simple. It might be simple. I mean, there was another ruling in the Supreme Court. It was 8-1. I don't understand why it was 8-1, but it had to do with a fundamentalist Christian doctor of some sort claiming that her right to free speech was abridged because of what she counseled her patients to do. And in this particular case, it was to not undergo any kind of treatment for transitioning your sexual identity. Ketanji Brown, in her dissent, she's the only one who dissented, made a very simple argument, which she summed up by saying, look, it has been the tradition, it has been the settled law, that free speech does not apply in medical care. Science applies in medical care. And the states have the obligation to license medical care and to supervise medical care. And if this case it continues, if this ruling holds and it's going to be applied, that's the end of the regulation of medical care. Because every charlatan will claim my free speech is being abridged because I say that if you jump in front of a car and the car hits you, you won't get hurt. You'll be transported somewhere and you'll be safe. Or whatever you might say, I'll drink Clorox, it'll cure your headache. And they'll say, well, that's my free speech. And there's really no reason why that would not win the argument. So that was another terrible ruling by the Supreme Court. In this case, joined by everybody. It was an 8-1 decision.
Because it got framed as a free speech case.
It's a free speech case. But she made the case. She said free speech is not absolute. And isn't it the case that the most famous free speech ruling was you don't have the right to yell fire in a crowded theater?
Yep. Justice Holmes.
Yeah. Hardly a radical. So very important case.
Yeah. You know, I do want to get back to Secretary of Defense. We won't call him Secretary of War, Hegseth. Although war is in his mind, his what he's been
he's a war doing with his
to
mind.
The military, what he's been doing to the military, firing. You know, he has a penchant for firing officers, particularly if they're a woman or if they're if they're someone of color.
Yeah, black. He's fired 24 generals, almost all of whom are either women or African-American.
Or refusing to promote.
Right.
And he ran into that this week, which caused him to fire the Army Chief of Staff.
During a war.
During a war, where they're talking about using the Army. It's just incredible.
And the other guy he fired was the general who was in charge of training. And the other guy he fired was the chief chaplain of the Army. But he was black.
Right. And the training, they've been doing better in meeting their quotas because of these people.
Right.
But Hegseth did manage to have a religious service held on Good Friday.
In the Pentagon?
In the Pentagon.
Why is the Pentagon a proper place to hold religious services?
Well, there are no atheists in foxholes.
No, but that's not a foxhole.
So that's true. That's true. But this is what's been going on. The other thing is that Catholics were banned from having any type of commemoration of Good Friday. They don't actually have
but they don't have services, right? They don't do that.
But they do have a they do conduct certain activities.
But not mass. They don't have a mass. There's no Catholic mass.
Right. There is no mass on that day.
Yeah. But the point is, was there a service for Pesach? Was there a service for Ramadan? Was there a service for anything except what he belongs to, Hegseth? No.
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 And that's why we have a secular country. That's why we don't have the establishment of religion. But if you have services in the Pentagon, isn't that a religious established activity?
Well, probably not with this Supreme Court.
No, right, exactly. Right. You're probably
who have rubber stamped a lot of these cases involving religion. Meanwhile, you know, gasoline prices continue to rise.
What's the latest one near you?
The cheapest that I've now seen is $4.09.
That's right.
The place they used to be $3.99, yeah. And then $3.89, and what have you.
It's $4.20 near me. I expect it'll get to be $6.
Well, it already is in California.
It is already in California, and what people don't realize is assuming that they opened up the strait tomorrow, which they can't, they're not going to, but assume they did, the tie-up so far is going to be felt for months, starting in about a month. And if it doesn't get tied up tomorrow, if it doesn't end tomorrow, that means even worse.
Yeah.
It's going to be very bad, very bad.
And don't forget, not only is gas up, but mortgage rates are going up.
Yep.
The cost of living continues to rise unabated for ordinary people, which is why we're seeing this tremendous fall in Trump's approval rating. And why you see the Democrats doing so well. But again, as we said, they're doing well in spite of themselves, rather than because of anything that they're really standing for.
Right. And that's it. We have to stop now.
Yep. Who knows? This week, day to day.
Day to day.
Things change.
Trump may find something else that he can screw up for the world.
Yeah.
And then claim victory. Claim victory. You don't need any defeats when you have these victories.
Well, you know, he's still claiming victory in the 2020 election.
Right, exactly.
So,
well,
I just hope that he doesn't use Rudy Giuliani as the point man for imposing that victory in the field. You know, our troops deserve much better.
And with that, I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.